In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, it is the Sunday of the Triumph of Orthodoxy, the first Sunday of Great Lent. Some people call it the Day of the Restoration of the Icons. What is it that we really celebrate today? I talked about it yesterday. And the Gospel doesn't so much talk about it as tell us what we must do to obtain it. The triumph of Orthodoxy is what happens in your hearts. It's what happens because of the incarnation of the God-man. He became like us in all ways save sin. We're not like him at all. So he became like us, so that we could become like him. In virtue. Without him becoming man. Without him, as the hymn says that I discussed last night, taken on all of the distinctive properties of our flesh, becoming like us in every way, save, of course, he did not sin. Without that happening, we couldn't reach him. We couldn't be with him. We wouldn't be strong enough. We wouldn't have the will. We wouldn't have the knowledge. We wouldn't have the way. So because we shared nothing with God whatsoever, he decided to share with us. He decided to become like us and to show us the way and to make that way possible by doing it. This is the triumph of Orthodoxy, when we realize this in our lives. Not when you realize it with your head. Anybody can believe anything with their head. But it's what you do with what you believe. It's that you sense in your life that everything in the world is just temporary and corrupt. There's only one thing that matters, and that's Jesus Christ. The image of God that is within us, that he came to restore. Another hymn that I spoke of last night says that he restored the sullied image to its ancient glory by filling it with divine beauty. This is what the God-man did. This is what his becoming man accomplished for us. Now, how do we realize this? Obviously, in the world, not everyone lives as a Christian. Even people that say they're Christian don't necessarily live as Christians. And we ourselves, we often do not live as Christians. So how does one realize this power that God has given to us? In the beginning of his ministry, he said, very important words. The kingdom of heaven is within you. How do we realize this kingdom that is within us? The gospel tells us how today. And also the epistle. Jesus was gathering up his disciples at the very beginning of his ministry. He was an unknown. So he goes into Galilee and he finds Philip. And he says, follow me. And so Philip was at Bethsaida, and it was a fishing town. He goes to Andrew, his brother and partner in fishing. The city of Andrew and Peter. He goes to Nathanael, his brother. And he says to him, we found the Messiah, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So what does Nathanael say to him? Remember, Jesus is an unknown at this point. Nathanael says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a town of disrepute. It was a town of thieves. A town of no goods. And Jesus lived in Nazareth. He was raised in Nazareth. So what did Philip tell him? Very, very important words. Come and see. And this is how you accomplish having the kingdom of heaven within you. Come and see. In the beginning, the Lord says to Philip, follow me. And when his brother Nathanael questions, Philip says, come and see. These are very important commands that you must use every day and follow every moment of your life. Because, let's face it, there's a lot that goes on in our lives that is just confusing. If you're not confused by life, you're not thinking hard enough. Because life is confusing. A lot of stuff that happens in our own souls. We have such a capacity for good and for evil, sometimes in the same breath. How can this be? Life is confusing. So how do you figure out life? How do you untie the Gordian knot? By following Christ. By expectation. By coming and seeing. And this, what is this coming and seeing? It is, follow the God-man. Live as he lived. They tried to kill him within the first few months of his ministry. And he would not allow them. And the reason why is because he needed to spend 3 years educating us, showing us how to live. Some by an example that has been recorded in the gospel, and the majority by teaching his disciples and showing them how to live so that they could communicate it to us. If we live as the God-man lived, if we forgive those who harm us, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If we humble ourselves like he humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant. If we love as he loved, then we will have the kingdom of heaven springing up within us. And this is salvation. And this is the purpose of your life. Nothing else matters. Absolutely nothing. All that matters is, do you have light in you? The light must be God. We say, light of light, true God of true God. In God, there is no darkness. St. John says that. So if there is light within you, if there is warmth within you and no cold, then the kingdom of heaven is in you. Now, I mentioned we have this dissonance in our lives where there's confusion or where we have sins that we really have trouble with, or we get lazy, or we get despondent, or so many things happen to us. All that matters is that you follow Christ. If you will do this, you will be saved. But following Christ is not to say, I believe in him. Any fool can say he believes in something. For that matter, Satan believes in Christ. He knows exactly what he can do. That's why he fears him so much, because he hates good. No, it's not just to believe. It is to live with all of your heart for him. That's what following him is. There's a reason why when he called Simon and when he called Andrew, he said they left their nets. They left everything and followed him. This is how we should be. God is not requiring you that you leave your house. But he is requiring of you that you leave your passions. That you leave your desires that are for things that are temporary. That you follow him. He gave you the example. This really simply is Christianity. Follow the way of Jesus Christ. Now, to follow him, you've got to know something about him. If your Bible is dusty, you're not going to be able to follow him. Because you need to be reading it. A lot. Because how can you know of him? The scriptures speak of him. And by the way, all the scriptures speak of him, because he said that. He said, the scriptures tell of me. And when he was speaking of that, he was speaking of the Old Testament. Because there wasn't the New Testament at the time. But certainly the New Testament, the Old Testament, all of it speaks of Jesus Christ. So that's part of following him, is knowing something about him, reading about him, praying, struggling with yourself, and believing that if you do this, there will be enlightenment. God will show you the way. Not every day. You'll have some good days and some bad days. But overall, God will show you the way. These are very important commands in this gospel, and they are not trivial. We should not gloss over them. Christianity is to follow Christ. And Christianity is to not listen to all those little voices in our heads that tell us stuff, but to come and see. To believe that if we follow Christ, there will be peace and rest. What, in about 4 weeks now, we'll be reading the life of St. Mary of Egypt. And remember, in her life, a very, very important thing happened. She heard a voice that says, if you will go beyond the Jordan, you will find rest. She believed it. She didn't find rest for a long time. If you remember her life, for 17 years, when she went into the desert, she was beset by terrible temptations. Remembering things, desires that she just couldn't get rid of. She'd lay on the ground a day and a night. But then peace would return. But 17 years she spent struggling with, especially with profane and immoral and lewd thoughts. 17 years. She believed that if she followed Christ, and she would come and see, that she would find rest. And after 17 years, she became more like an angel than like a woman. So it takes time, but it's worth it. Because there's only one thing that matters in life. Are you going to become like Christ or not? That's Christianity. It's not what you say you believe. It's not if you know a bunch of facts. Not if you go to church or if you fast. It is, do you know Christ? You can't know Him unless you be like Him. It's not possible. Now, of course, fasting and prayer and prostrations and giving alms, all those things are very beneficial to help us on the way. Really, I don't think you can do it without those things. But the whole goal is to follow Him. So, brothers and sisters, let's follow Him. Let's just believe Him. And when you have your dark moments, or even dark times, maybe of long duration, when you have those times, remember what you are doing in your life. You're following Christ. And He will reveal Himself to you. Completely. As long as you keep on following Him. So may God help us to follow Him. Amen.